In the 1870s, an emperor and a baron undertook the remaking of Paris. Napoleon III and Baron George Eugene Haussmann's urban renewal project converted clusters of medieval warrens into the Paris we know today, with its grand boulevards and rows of handsome buildings. Impressionist painters showed that new Paris on their canvases. But NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg says one of them had a very different perspective.
Boulevard Haussmann is a broad and busy thoroughfare. Unlovely, really. Although in the 1870s, the banker Edouard André, his wife Nellie Jacquemart, and others built their mansions here. Today, at what's become the Jacquemart André Museum, an exhibition presents works by an artist who lived just down the street and painted what was happening to Paris when Baron Haussmann was remaking it.
How do you say the name of the painter?
It's Gustave Caillebotte.
Caillebotte.
C-A-I-L-L-E-B-O-T-T-E, Caillebotte. His best-known work, Paris Street, Rainy Day, from 1877, is not in the exhibition. The Art Institute of Chicago owns it. Vast cobblestone street stretching out in front of wedges of buildings, pointy ends towards us. The street dotted with dark umbrellas that shelter men in top hats and long-skirted women, all looking vague, disoriented. That was a major subject of Caillebotte's, what the modernization of Paris was doing to its people.
This seems to be quite alone.
Nicolas Sanfard-Garneau, curator of the Jacquemart André Museum.
Every person is lost in a very wild world.
Caillebotte paints men leaning on new bridges engulfed by steel girders, men on balconies looking down at the Boulevard Haussmann, above, yet somehow dwarfed by the street.
The modern life doesn't create a close relation between human beings. You are completely loneless in these new buildings, new boulevards, new avenues and streets. And there is something quite sad about that, you know.
Caillebotte's contemporaries, Renoir, Monet, Sisley, Pizarro, also put this modern Paris in their paintings, but theirs is a Paris peopled by happy dancers or sociable boaters or busy shoppers or flag-waving parade marchers.
They just wanted to show pleasant persons or funny activities, not that kind of loneliness that you find here.
It's Caillebotte's perspectives, his wide-angled, panoramic views that shade the paintings with sadness. The zooming angles and thrusting spaces are daring and totally original, compelling, dramatic. Not himself an impressionist, Caillebotte loved what those painters and others were doing and befriended them, Manet first.
And after, you find Monet, Renoir, Sisley, Pizarro, Cézanne.
He got to know them at cafés. Manet had the habit of receiving friends at the Café Gerbois. Caillebotte decided to do the same.
He offered, you know, drinks and so on once a week for everyone. And that's the way he met all these painters.
If you wine them, they will come. Caillebotte not only wined them and dined them, he loaned them money, paid the rent on Monet's studio for a while, and most important, he bought their paintings for top dollar.
Caillebotte was a very wealthy man.
His father had made a fortune supplying Napoleon's army with uniforms, bedding, other materials. Gustave inherited the fortune at age 26.
And he just wanted to help the Impressionist painters. So he purchased about 64 paintings from Monet, Renoir, Sisley, Pizarro, and all the others.
A great patron of the arts, Caillebotte's first-rate art collection became what today is the crux of the Impressionist holdings at the Musée d'Orsay in Paris. Although for a while he or his executors couldn't give them away.
It's a pity, in fact, that when he offered all the collection to the French states, at that time the Minister of Fine Arts wasn't pleased at all by the donation, and he refused it.
He turned them away?
Yes.
The custom then was for the state to accept only works by dead painters. But curator Saint-Fargue-Garneau says there was another problem.
But in fact, you must understand that they did not appreciate at all the style.
Critics of the day felt the Impressionist works were crudely painted, looked unfinished, hasty, no place for them in prestigious official French collections. 7 years after Caillebotte's death, after much wrangling and negotiation, his bequest of Impressionist treasures was accepted by the government of France.
Well, at the end, he accepted about 40 paintings, but the other were sent to the family.
40 out of 60 that were offered?
Yes.
What was his name, this Minister of Fine Arts?
Well, I'm afraid I don't remember it. I think it's Antonin Proust. I'm not sure.
This is a name that should live in infamy.
Sure.
It was Henri Rougeon, but he was not the only naysayer. Happily, by now the names Renoir, Monet, Sisley, and yes, Gustave Caillebotte have become part of the pantheon of French painting. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
And you can see some of Caillebotte's paintings at our website, npr.org.
From NPR News, this is Morning Edition. The engineering supervisor is Kevin Langley. Our technical director is Arthur Halliday-Laurent. Audio engineers include Chris Nelson, Greg Gavin, Stacey Abbott, Kurt Stalnicker, Michael Cullen, Melissa Marquis, and Ted Mebane, with Theo Mondal at NPR West.
Our executive producer is Madalie Kasicka. The executive director of news programming is Ellen McDonald. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly.